A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone, brought to you by G2G Bars. Tons of protein, no preservatives. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. Get them in your refrigerated section at your grocery store. If they don't have it, shame them until they get it. Mitch Harper joining us on the program on the KSL Sports Zone. Mitch Harper, of course, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com and host of Cougar Sports Saturday every Saturday. And he follows everything BYU related, so you don't have to be at practice. Don't worry if you miss it, okay? Because he's got it covered. Mitch, thanks for being with us. First scrimmage on Saturday for the Cougs. What does a first scrimmage usually entail? Because I feel like in the fall, it's pretty much just, hey, let's make sure guys don't get hurt. But you also want to see some energy out there, and from what BYU put out from their side of things on YouTube, it looked pretty sharp.
It did, and I think that also it was pretty physical in the trenches, and it kind of gave them a live look at, you know, BYU's defensive line against an offensive line unit that might be, you know, top 10 nationally in the country this year. So I think that was a good look, probably the best look you're going to get from that scrimmage. Otherwise, you know, you were seeing a lot of basically two-hand touch and things getting whistled early. Quarterbacks obviously weren't live, but it was a chance also for younger guys too to maybe show some flashes and give some some data or some actual film that would suggest to coaches, hey, this guy warrants keeping a roster spot, you know, in this year and in beyond when BYU gets into the Big 12 conference. So I think that was the biggest value to that scrimmage. BYU pretty much knows who they're, you know, top 44 or so guys are going to be in terms of the two deep on offense and defense. But it was just another way to see some younger guys and get a better look at the trench play for BYU as they get ready for South Florida.
A lot of people reported a sonic boom on Saturday morning.
It woke me up.
A lot of people thought it was meteors bouncing off the atmosphere. But it's actually Jaren Hall with a strong arm throwing deep passes to
Puka.
That's the one
compliment you'll get from Scott Mitchell.
Well, no, but to my point, we all know it was meteors, that the world is coming to an end soon. But before it does, Jaren, people talk, arms stronger, looks more comfortable. Did that play out in the scrimmage?
Yeah, he played about 25 plays. And, you know, a lot of what we've seen in the observation periods of fall camp this far, we haven't seen the quarterbacks, Jaren included, stretch the field much. We saw, you know, last week, that great pass to Chase Roberts, which was a well-thrown ball deep in stride. Chase Roberts caught it for a touchdown. But a lot of it's been, you know, checkdowns and going through your reads and your progressions and then turning to the running back. We've seen a lot of that from all of the QBs. And, you know, Jaren, I think that he's fine. I mean, he's calm. He's confident in this offense. And it was just – he was the definition of a guy you got to keep healthy – at all costs, because the outlook of BYU this season changes drastically without him. But I think that there has been some growing optimism on the front of, you know, a guy like Jacob Conover, him being the clear-cut second-string guy. Maybe part of that is due to Cade Finnegan, you know, never being fully healthy in spring practices. But, you know, Conover has done enough to say that they feel confident he's the number two guy. Now, is the trust to the level of a Baylor Romney where, you know, if Jaron's not fully 100%, do you rest him and trot out Jacob Conover? I still think that's to be determined. But the indications from what coaches are putting out there about Conover seem to be a lot more optimistic than I was expecting at this point heading into week three of camp.
Mitch, one of the things I think we're all kind of waiting to see was, there's a mix of live action, you know, blowing the whistle early on some of the 1v1s and things like that. But you can definitely see that there is that Chris Brooks is a sizable guy to try to bring down. How did he impress on Saturday? And what did you think? There were definitely some massive holes that O-line opened up for him.
No question. And I think that he's going to be a perfect fit in BYU's wide zone rushing attack. And I think with this offensive line, he's going to have an opportunity to be a 1,000-yard rusher. I don't think that's unreasonable to think. I think the question for him is does he emerge as that just every basically he's the feature back for pretty much the entire season. You know, I it'll be interesting to see how Aaron Roderick incorporates a Jackson McChesney or a Miles Davis who have earned high praise, and they're younger guys, and they're going to be around in the Big 12 era. Do you pick your spots to give Chris Brooks a breather, and you give it a look to McChesney and Davis? McChesney's had, you know, game reps, and he's impacted games last year against USC, against Navy in 2020. Miles Davis has played a little bit back in 2020 as well. Do you find spots to turn to those guys, or do you just work the bell cow, and that being Chris Brooks, because I think he's good enough to do that for BYU this year. And I think that he's a 1,000-yard back. I mean, the way he's built with this offensive line, it's not a surprise now that he picked BYU without ever visiting the campus. He just looked at the film and knew who the offensive line personnel was and said, I'm going to go there because that's going to give him a chance to get to the NFL. And I think he picked wisely because he seems to be a perfect fit for BYU.
That's an interesting observation because – one of the things you want is you want your team healthy. You want them going full speed late in the season. And you have a back that has been carrying the load all year and is taking a lot of shots. You slow down later on in the year. You can have an O-line, you know, creating holes. But that guy isn't hitting at full speed. And regardless of, of him being the bell cow, as you say, that I'm sure they'll have someone who will emerge. And just because they're going to be given chances. I mean, you're just not going to run a guy the whole entire game. So that will be an interesting thing to see unfold. I'm curious, the AP came out today and BYU is 25. Your thoughts on that?
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought it was a little bit lower. I think BYU deserves to be higher than 25. So I think they're good enough to be, you know, honestly a top 15 team just based off of how college football typically views these preseason polls and how teams are viewed going into a season. You know, if you've got the returning star quarterback, if you've got the experience on the offensive line, if you have a bunch of returning starters, you won a lot of football games the last couple years in the case of a non-P5 like BYU, typically that warrants, top 20, maybe top 15. But to sneak into the poll, I think it's fine for BYU because you have that preseason ranking next to you. It's important. I think people that say it's useless, I think that's wrong. I think these do matter from a perception standpoint, and perception is king in college football. But I think BYU deserved to be a little bit higher, honestly.
Mitch, as you see kind of – well, Matt, your co-host on Cougar Sports Saturday, Matt Biamonte, actually said I think 17 or 18 maybe. I thought that was a bit high. I also don't – like in my mind I'm going, it's good to get the nod to be in the top 25 – it's kind of a head-scratcher as to why they wouldn't be higher because they returned so many people, including their starting quarterback. And I know that replacing Tyler Algier is a big deal, but I think with the returning production, it's amazing to me that you'll see a team like BYU that gets put further down in the rankings because of, I don't know what. You tell me what the factor is as to why they would go that far down in the rankings or not be up. I mean, why you've got USC in the middle of at 14 and Texas in the coaches polls at 18, for heaven's sakes. How does BYU, is it just because regionally where they're at, or what are the factors that go into BYU being a 25 instead of an 18, for example?
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think it's they're not in the Power 5 conference yet, and I think that this year definitely hurt them when it comes to preseason rankings. If they were, you know, in the Big 12 and coming off a year where they had a 10-win campaign in the Big 12, they'd probably be where an Oklahoma State is, you know, somewhere around 12. I think that also what hurt them, and it's weird to say because they just don't mean anything, but the bowl game, you know, if BYU wins that bowl game, even that, you know, that ugly game that it was, and they're 11-2, I think just on the surface, I think that would naturally have given them a little bit of a bump, but you lose to a program that didn't have a football team 5 years ago and you lose it in an ugly fashion, I thought. And that just kind of put a sour taste, sour ending to an otherwise good year. And you're still a non-P5 ultimately. And I get where the voters are coming from because you're going to size up an Arkansas who navigated a tough SEC West schedule plus a non-conference game last year against Texas, and they were a 9-win team. You're going to give them the nod. And now, you know, BYU's going to have the chance to play them on the field in Provo, but, you know, not being in a P5 league hurts in these situations. You know, Cincinnati coming off a playoff, they're at, you know, at the back end of the polls because they're not a P5 team yet. So that's where the value in the future for BYU will be, being in a Big 12 that's still a power league and plays a much higher level of football than what they're currently in. And maybe if they can continue to have success, they'll have higher preseason rankings in the future, I would imagine.
You mentioned the bowl game for BYU. I forgot BYU even played the bowl game.
Mitch wanted to forget because he had to be there.
Yeah, it was so early and so awful. Hopefully that'll change this year. You know, we sit here and we talk to you every week. We talk about how great this O-line is and the quarterback and the wide receivers and tight ends and running back. We don't ever talk about the defense. Like is there a star on the defense? And I guess my perception is it almost feels like, and this is weird because Kalani's a defensive guy. Now, he was an offensive guy when he played, but he's become a defensive coach. Mm-hmm. And you just don't hear, at least I don't hear a lot about the defense. Feels like the secondary might be the strength of this team. Help me out here.
Yeah, I think the best unit on the defense is the linebackers. I'm actually putting together a piece that's going to go up tonight on KSLSports.com ranking the position groups, and the last ranked position group I have on BYU's team is the defensive line. Mm-hmm. Actually, defensive tackles last, and then defensive ends before that. And I say that group because it's kind of a no-name group. And yeah, you got Tyler Batty, a defensive end, who, if there's anyone that maybe, you know, and now with Jan Jorgensen, a former BYU great coming in as an analyst to help out that room, maybe his expertise can lend a helping hand to try to get Batty to be a 10-sack season guy. But that group is where there's cause for concern because you're going to go up against offensive lines that are some of the best in college football this year in Baylor, in Arkansas, in Oregon, and Notre Dame. That's concerning. BYU can't win every game, you know, 40-37 each and every week. It's not a recipe to get a 10-win season. And last year in many games, pretty much every game, there were stretches where opposing teams, whether it was Georgia Southern or was a depleted USC, they were picking apart BYU. And I know BYU dealt with a lot of injuries last year, and they gave a lot of valuable snaps to a lot of this defensive personnel. But I think you hit on something, Scott, that this defense lacks a bona fide star. You know, Keenan Peely last year, when he went down with an injury, it changed everything for the defense. But I don't know if I still look at him like he's a Devin Lloyd type. I don't look at him in that same breath. That, to me, is a bona fide defensive star. BYU lacks that guy. Maybe Peyton Wilgar can emerge into that. Maybe Batty. I think the secondary's improved. I think the cornerbacks are going to be really good by BYU standards. I think Caleb Hayes an Oregon State transfer who stepped in last year, had 11 pass breakups. He's probably the best cornerback. And D'Angelo Mandel and Gabe Judy Lally built. That rounds out the group with Jacob Robinson being a hybrid nickel cornerback guy. That's going to be a solid group. Safety, a little bit of question. Malik Moore is the starter. Ammon Hanneman probably going to be the other starter alongside him. But again, they're not these household names per se. I want to see some stars emerge. And when you bring up Kalani Sitake's track record, you know, I would have never thought in my wildest dreams that BYU in year 7 with Kalani would have had a star-studded wide receiver room and not a star-studded defensive line group. Right. It's kind of crazy to think. So, yeah, that is something that you want to see the stars emerge, because the great BYU teams, they've always had one or two legit stars on the defensive side, and that's going to be a chance for this team early with some of these quality opponents in the month of September.
You could see the breakdown of the scrimmage from last Saturday on KSLSports.com. Mitch Harper has it there, and then you heard him talking about the ranking by position group, which I'm sure we're going to be chatting about tomorrow a little bit. I think we see that the defensive line comes up time and time again as if there's a weakness, it's going to be that position group, even with a lot of names that people might recognize too. I mean, it's interesting to see that guys like Tyler Batty, that people were waiting for him to have this crazy breakout second year, and we just didn't really see it. And you know, you think about some of the names that are coming into the school, Hunter Greer and Issa Moa out of Weber High School. There's just still young guys, but then there's Lorenzo Fautea, who's been there, it seems like, forever, too. So it's like Earl Tuioti Mariner, another name that I think that people were expecting to be way more. But this is also a position group that needs to have 7 or 8 guys be solid because they come in and out of the game so much.
Yeah, they do. And I think, you know, Earl Mariner, he might be. I think because he's healthy now, he might be one of the most improved guys this season. If the season started today, coming out of scrimmage number 1, I would expect him and Tyler Batty to probably be the starting defensive ends for BYU if they have a 4-down front. And I think that, you know, the defensive line should be better because everyone returns except for Uriah Leatawa. So naturally, I think that lends itself to being there's a lot more confidence for Elisa Tuiaki in this room. It's just a matter of kind of they got to prove it in games. I don't think anyone's going to anoint them anything going into the preseason until they prove themselves, and they're going to have a chance to prove it because of the quality of the offensive lines they're going to face.
Mitch, we're excited for another week of camp here, and we're looking forward to your coverage as well. KSLSports.com. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
There you go.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch Harper.
Good stuff there.
Like, really good. You think he studies this at all? Or
I think he eats, sleeps, and drinks it. I have a question for you.
What is it?
It's a good sports trivia
question. Should we do it on
question.
The way back here?
We should do it on the way back.
Okay.
You're going to like this.
All right.
It's a good one.
Scott's got a question, and you can play right along with us here. We've got more to go. As we come back, we're going to have our What Are the Odds Around the Corner. Stay right here with us when Rival continues. First, though, stop playing tobacco's game. Control your future. Free nicotine patches and nicotine gum at waytoquit.org. We'll take the break here. Weekend Warriors next, right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.